All right, the last verse of chapter 17, Luke. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will be eagles. There will eagles be gathered together. And what is the question? He's giving all these things beforehand about two are in the field and one is taken, the other left, two shall be, blah, 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 all of two, and then one's taken, the other left. And they said, Where, Lord? And he answered this strange way. He said, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. Now, in most translations, except King James, it says where is the dead, where the body is. They say the dead body, the eagles is the vultures, and that's I don't know where that came from, because the word for body is the word for an alive body. But there's an interesting parallel in Matthew 24. Here in verse 28. Anybody there? It's gone? Matthew 24, verse 28. It says, Wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. There, the word for carcass is the word for a dead body, so it's properly translated carcass. And here, it should be, will the eagles be gathered? I mean, the vultures be gathered. And so, you know, wherever this kind of thing is, where there's two apparent similar, or maybe it should be alike statements, but when you look at the word, the Greek words form, it's different. Here it says where the dead body is, there the vultures will be. And in Luke, it says where the alive body is. And the word for body is the same word that we would have for a church or a group. There will the eagles be gathered. Now, why would that happen? Why would they use two different? Would Matthew use one? And
so Matthew uses vulture is
dead body and vultures.
Okay, because they translated it eagles.
I know. And in Luke, it's live body and eagles. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
There's a connotation between vultures and death and eagles and soaring.
Why? Well, eagles.
And eagles eating the snake, the enemy of the snake.
Yeah. Here, we've talked about this, that in Luke, it's wherever the eagles are, there are no snakes. And it's obvious where dead bodies are, there are vultures.
Yeah.
There's on rare occasions, if an eagle is starving, it will eat carrion or dead meat. But 99% of the time, they won't eat dead meat. They have to kill the animal and then eat it. They wouldn't eat carrion unless they. I mean, it had to be life or death, huh?
They have to kill it and then eat it. So
right.
On the Luke one, it says wherever the body is together,
That's mean. It's the word that means a live body.
I was thinking of the body meaning born from one believer, but in this one it doesn't say that. It just says where the dead body is.
So the vultures will be gathered. The eagles there should be translated vultures.
Is that for sure? I mean, because it could be we are so dead. We do die.
Yeah, but we're.
That, vessels then for deity.
I know, but the eagles wouldn't eat us.
I don't see discrepancy. I just see two statements.
That's right. There's not a discrepancy. But where this kind of thing is, there's usually a hidden mystery.
Well, one is the eagles also are at a point of view where they see everything clearly throughout time on parable type.
Well, let's look at some eagles. Let's go to Job 39. There's another, I don't know if you remember, but I don't know if everybody here was there when we studied it, but when in the zodiac, as you've heard me talk about, the zodiac, the original meaning of the 12 signs, it's a total and complete revelation of Christ. And there's an eagle that's critical in the in the mystery. I'm not going to talk about that today because I'm not prepared to, but I just thought of it. All right, start in verse 27. Well, that's not a good place. And verse 31. Can thou bind the sweet...
Wait a minute, are you in...
Oh, excuse me, I'm in the wrong. I'm sorry, I was looking in verse chapter 38. In verse 26 of 39, excuse me. Doth a hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch forth her wings toward the south? But the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there she is. Now there, the slain, no, it's the ones that she slays. All right, let's go to... I just want to look at the references to eagles and throughout the scriptures and see what we can determine.
Are you trying to define eagles?
Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Let's start in verse 25. To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So that's one of the most important places the eagle is used in a parabolic way. But let's go to Revelation chapter 4. Well, let's just read. Let's start in. This is a description. The makeup of the book of Revelation is the first three chapters are the message to the seven churches. And it's a message not from an angel. It's a message directly from Christ. Then follows in chapter 4, which we're going to read, it's the first look we have at the throne of God. And it's, well, let's look at it. Look. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardonyx. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now remember, all references to 24 in Revelation relate to the 24 courses of the priesthood. The priesthood was divided into these 24 systems or courses, if you will. You know, one course was the course that John the Baptist's father had. His course was to care for the altar of incense. Another course would have been to care for the table of showbread. Another course would have been to make sure the brazen altar is, or maybe more than one. And then went all the way down to one of the courses was to make sure there were no bugs in the wood that was burned. So they had to go through all the wood and take the bark off and make sure there was not a bug in that wood that was being used for the brazen altar. And all kinds of other stuff. Now, there were many courses of the priesthood revolved around, or such, and many people of the course of the priesthood would be concerned with the ashes of the red heifer and the cleansing of someone accused of idolatry or walking on a dead body or being touched with, and on and on and on. So these 24 courses are critical in our understanding of the book of Revelation. Now, when it says the 24 courses, the 24 elders fell down on their face, the only time they can fall down on their face is when everything is finished from the standpoint of God. Because otherwise, there's really no rest. So when we read, and when we study Revelation, we'll read it often, where there was silence in heaven and the 24 courses of the 24 elders had fallen on their faces. Every time when that's seen, it shows that everything in heaven and earth, in spiritual realm and in the natural realm, everything was finished. So, and out of the throne in verse 5 proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the thrones, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. So one of the critical issues in our understanding of what this scripture means in Luke is to know that one of the four beasts around the throne, the eagle is a partial description of it. Now remember, the reason there were four around the throne, we won't go into the details of it, but every time there's four around the throne, it means that every cardinal point of the compass was complete. And so when the beast fell down and the elders fell down, that means everything in every cardinal point of the compass and everything in time and space and in heaven was finished. Okay? All right. Now let's go to Revelation 12. Everything in time and space was finished.
I mean, they just seem to represent space. They don't seem to represent time. If they're the four corners of the compass,
right?
There's something about that that implies space.
Right.
Time doesn't seem to be a part of this equation.
Well, but there would be no space without time. The only thing that gives space dimension is time. When the time shall be no more, when the seventh angel sounds in Revelation 10, then there's no more time or space. There's only eternity. And the bride is complete.
Yeah.
That's what it, remember? That's what that Revelation 10 said was. It's something to the fact that the mystery of the bride is completed.
Yeah.
Therefore, time shall be no more. Now, that's what has to happen. This is what it really means for you and I to redeem the time for the days are evil. We redeem the time by not being subject to it. And we're not subject to it because the seventh angel has stood in us and said the mystery of God is completed in you. His judgment first began at the house of God, at the temple of God. It can't happen internationally or universally until it happens in us. No, for time to be no more in you revolutionary. You're no more subject to time. You're no more subject to cause and effect. You're no more subject to reward and punishment. You're out of the realm of all those things.
This reality is what we must be agreeing with, because this is a ground floor, so to speak.
Yeah, this is the description
here, and all every else.
All right.
Working out our faith.
All right, Revelation 12. Let's read the whole thing. I don't know if we read it in here or in Bananas, but anyway, Revelation 12 is interesting to me, because it was the first recognition about that nothing in the book of Revelation has anything to do with the passage of time. Because the book of Revelation is written looking from the resurrected Christ's point of view. That's why the angel or whoever's talking always says, come and see. Come where I am and see. And the reason for this is now in this chapter, he'll see that Satan fall as a like lightning. Well, that happened before the foundation of the earth. But it's in this book, in verse 12, or in the middle of the, he sees it. So, wait a minute, So that's when I knew Revelation was from the top down instead of a linear time. It's not a book of prophecy, which everybody tries to make it, what's going to happen in the future. It's a book of the revelation of Christ.
Let's go back. Yeah, that is word is critical, because it's not what he's going to be or what he was, but what he was, is, and will be all in the same sense.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now this is the constellation Virgo. It's a description of it. And the first decan of the constellation Virgo is called the sub sign, is Coma. And Coma is a Persian, it's word in all of the over the Middle East. But Coma means the desired one of the nations. And this is what the Magi saw. And this is why they knew that star heralded the birth of this mystery child. The mystery child being the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, etc., etc. That's why they were... It wasn't just three magi. There were three presents. The whole tribe. The magi were the Supreme Court of Persia. More than that, they were like the spiritual head of the nation. And it wasn't. They then went to pay homage, because that's. This was the end, the purpose of life was revealed to them. It was from Daniel and the reading of Numbers 24, where it talked about this star. And then so they were waiting for that star. Now remember, that in the first decan, it's kind of sticking to myself here. The first decan is a woman seated in a chair holding a child. And the Star of Bethlehem was the star in the head of the child supernova and it exploded. And it took, as you heard me say, it took 65 million years for the light from that star to reach the Magi. And it was just exactly enough time so they could pay homage to Christ before Joseph and Mary took Christ to Egypt to be safe from Herod. Now, if you ever think that God doesn't understand timing, just remember, bring this to mind. Just think of the... It's beyond comprehension. 65 million years to get the light to reach the Magi. So they could prepare their trip, travel across halfway across the known world on the worst desert in the universe, and reach to pay homage to the child within probably days before he left. So you can't ever leave faith.
You can't ever be what?
Leave faith. To lean on your own arm of understanding with the majesty of God in view. It's like it's a slap in the face of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Period. I shall not be in want for anything, period. There's never again leaning on your own arm of understanding. It's living by faith and faith alone. That's what everything is about, the renewal of your mind is about. So you reach the point where you live by faith alone. Nothing can draw you off that and draw you away from it. Not even the worst torture, nothing. That's our purpose in time and space, so that our mind would be renewed to that position. So anyway. And verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now again, this dragon, if you will, whose tail expands across the third of heaven, that's the constellation Draco. And it literally is just about to the degree it covers 1/3 of the stars of heaven. It's 1/3 of the, if you will, the universe.
Draco.
There are two
that are similar, and I was thinking that might be the other one.
Yeah.
It is a constellation of the serpent. But you can see it. Well, you can't. It's not as definable as like looking at the Southern Cross.
Like
if
you see
Virgo,
can you see Draco?
Right, yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I have it here.
You got a picture?
I got a, it's not a handout. I'm not going to give this up. If you can see, here's Virgo, right here. And here's covered the snake, and it starts here and it goes all the way to here. So it's 1/3 of the circle. It's the length of that.
So it's almost like it's superimposed over 1/3 of the constellation.
Right.
Wow.
And it's the constellation Hydra.
Hydra.
Hydra. Draco is the one in the center, the
yeah,
snake.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now that happened before the creation of this creation. Is where the angels fell. That happened during the time of the pre-Adamic man.
So the nature of the deception manifests itself in the Garden of Eden, where man could be like God, and that's the deception that we walk in.
Well, it's not just that; it's that man could be like God because. And that because is the great one. In order for him to do that, he needed self-awareness. So he became, at the fall, he became aware of himself. Just like we see it in every child that's born. Until about 18 months, they're innocent. And then they become aware of themselves, and then come the terrible twos. Because the child becomes a con artist. And that con, if you will, continues their whole adult life, their whole childhood. No matter what they do, it's still a con, because it's a con of self-realization. Now that's why, except you be converted and become as that darling infant, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. In a way, you become as that darling infant is that you stop using your mind. You see it's evil.
So this almost goes back to the eagle who sees clearly.
That's what we're talking. We're going to get there in a second. Well, we already got there in a way, because yeah, we'll be here forever if we go through this. We'll continue on Revelation 12 tomorrow. If anybody wants to see this, you can't have it, but you can look at it. Anybody have any other comments? This was a little disjointed today because I'm a little disjointed.
You know what? It's like it's still simple, but it takes a whole lot of words and complicated concepts to arrive at the simplicity of it for some crazy reason. I guess
the big thing is. You must return to innocency. You must lose the ability to be like God. You no longer, you just live. You just be instead of trying to be. No more thinking about it. No more thought. It's only action. This isn't a way to be a better person. It has nothing to do with you anymore. It's all addressed to that Christ which is in you, who is you now, your real life. Your old life is dead. But you keep resurrecting it every time you use your mind for any purpose. except you become as this little child, she'll no wise enter the kingdom of God. And that little child was a darling infant before self-awareness. You have to spew out all of your judgments and ideas. And just be. All right, take it, big guy.